We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
What's going on? Welcome in, Hogan Johns, episode 141, week 17. It all comes down to this. What's going on, Adam?
How's the weather in Minnesota, my friend?
It is so cold.
It is freezing so here. Cold.
Oh, man. I know that it finally got down to Chicago today with those negative temperatures, but what you're feeling today, it has been about 10 degrees colder than that ever since I got off the plane here on Christmas Eve. So I'm in Minnesota right now, headed to Nashville for Northwestern's bowl game here shortly. So we're kind of doing this the best we can this week. Johns is in Chicago on the phone, and we're recording this the best way we can because we wanted to make sure we got you a podcast this week. But yeah, it is, and I hope you're ready for this, Johnsy, because I looked at the long-term forecast. It's not getting any better here. This weekend, thank God they have that new stadium with the roof, because if this one was being played at TCF Bank Stadium, it would be, I think the forecast on Sunday is -3.
Well, you and I would have been fine in that nice, cozy press box that we get to sit in at TCF Bank Stadium. I actually like that stadium. It was small. It seemed very homely. You got to sit next to the owner's booth, which is always kind of interesting, which would have been kind of interesting this week, knowing what's going on at Halas Hall and what the Bears will do with Jeff Fox. But yeah, it is. I'm guessing the Bears will not practice outside whatsoever this week, and what's the point in playing in the Dome? And really just an overall interesting week for the Bears and what's kind of looming next week.
It absolutely is, and the fact that the season's ending in Minnesota kind of brings back memories from 2014. Mark Trestman, Phil Emery, you brought up kind of the weird situation, the press box at TCF Bank Stadium where the press box was adjacent to the owner's suite. And, you know, we could kind of watch what was going through Phil Emery's mind during that game. And we didn't really know whether or not he would be back. It seemed pretty certain that Mark Trestman was going to be fired. And then sort of had that awkward press conference at the end of the game where, I mean, you had to think Mark knew what was coming, but he certainly played it off like he didn't after that game. So,
yeah.
Well, John Fox kind of handled it in a similar way so far this week.
Yeah, you know, this, God, I'm just getting all those memories flooding back to me right now, Adam. The whole thing was just awkward. Phil Emery's sitting in the owner's booth. You know, Ryan Pace never sits with his owners, always with his staff members, which I think is pretty telling in terms of their philosophies and, you know, who they like to be with and whatnot. Not that Jordan McCaskey and Ryan Pace don't get along. I think Ryan Pace just likes being amongst his fellow scouts, while Phil Emery never was in the press box with us, or especially in the road. I think that's just one of the stark differences between the two. And yeah, that game was off. Remember, Jay Cutler was just kept throwing to Matt Forte, and then he said he didn't do it on purpose to get Matt Forte. What was it? The receptions record for Bears running backs. Remember that? And then Mark.
I think it's the NFL single season reception record for running back.
Right. It was check down city. You know, it was the preview of the Mike London era. That game was, and then afterward, Mark Trestman saying that he believed he was the best coach to fix the Bears. All of it was very awkward, from sitting next to the booth to seeing what Cutler was doing on the field to hearing Mark Trestman afterward, and now here we go back to Minnesota with John Fox clearly in flux. Looking at Black Monday.
Yeah, we'll get into it here. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Our producer is Joe Romano, at Joey Joe Rowe. He's been with us all season. We thank him for helping us out, because really the additions to the podcast this year, getting Joe with us on board, especially the voicemails and a lot of the sound that you hear, Joe's been helping with that. So we thank him for being along for the ride this year. You can read us at WGNradio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. We have a new podcast in print that was in the paper today, as we record on Wednesday morning, and you can read that. We wrote about Kyle Fuller, and we'll get into that conversation here momentarily. You can search for the podcast Hogan Johns on iTunes, TuneIn, and the WGN Radio app. It's all there for you. Pretty much anywhere you listen to your podcast, you can find it. And please rate and review it if you don't mind. That helps spread the word. Our voicemail line, 312-222-5050. It was Christmas Eve. Bears were playing the Browns. The voicemail still came in, so let's hear what the fans had to say during the Bears' victory. They actually won a game. Victory over the Cleveland Browns.
Hello?
Do you know who this is?
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
The Hogan Johns voicemail. Hogan Johns voicemail line.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep.
Got any questions or comments about the Bears? Give the guys a call before, after, or even during the game. 312-222-5050.
Go Bears!
Ho ho Hoagie, John D. Babe, Joey Joe with the ho ho ho. Bob Dabrowski here, reporting from the Cadillac Club at Soldier Field. I'm here with my sister and brother-in-law in town. They dragged me down to this poop fight between the Bears and the Browns. I'm just kidding. I'm here of my own volition. I want to be here. It's going to be a Christmas miracle if the Browns can beat the Bears somehow, which I just don't see happening, despite, you know, John Fox holstering Mitchy Trubisky like he's some sort of pistol BB gun, when we know he's a bazooka with a golden arm. And I'm going to see him throwing for 3 touchdowns today in a Bears W. So let's go Bears. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. All right, go Bears, boys.
TJ from Dunn's Grove, heading into the city on 290. Cold. The road conditions are terrible. It's the freaking Browns. Why am I going to this game? Well, because I got $250 tickets for $50 each. I'm an idiot, and I have been to 8 Bears games in a row, and they have lost every single one of them. Well, not 8 Bears games in a row, but just the last 8 Bears game I've been to, they've lost all of them. So they got to win today against the Browns, right? Right?
Spencer from Rockford, Illinois. These announcers are laugh out loud bad. Did you hear them try to pronounce Prince Amukamara? They pronounce it Amukamara. It was hilarious. All right, go Bears. Merry Christmas.
Mike from Point Pleasant, New Jersey. I'm sitting at a bar right now watching the Bears in Cleveland, and I'm trying to figure out why John Fox and the coaching staff have the worst two-minute drill in the NFL. It just boggles the mind, like, how bad their packages are and their play calling. I don't get it. I know it's going to be over soon, but that's what I'm calling to complain about. So, hope you guys have a Merry Christmas.
Chris from Milwaukee. I just want to say, that was probably one of the most disgusting games by a corner I've ever watched. Kyle Fuller had 6 passes defended today. That's absurd. Bear down.
Sam Anderson from Geneva, Illinois. Saw a couple of good reads by Trubisky down the field, but I think a major upgrade the Bears could attempt for is a trade for Josh Gordon. He looked very frustrated today, and I feel like he'd be a good fit for the Chicago Bears.
Hi, this is Chris from Palatine, as Jay Cutler would say. Don't care.
What up, 8-squared? It's 8 to the 3rd here, AJ, number one fan in Las Vegas. Hey, was it me, or was everyone else waiting for a flag on that big play to Cunningham? Because you know what always happens when we have that big play to the Bears. And also, why don't they use Tariq Cohen on those screen plays instead of Billy? He's faster, shiftier, makes bigger plays. I don't know, man. I'm just saying, yo. But man, the Browns are awful. I thought the Bears are bad, but the Browns, at least we have some hope. I feel sorry for that fan base, fellas. Anyway, good win. Good ball. Good ball.
Lucas from Plainfield, Illinois, and I was actually up there in the 400-level snowball fight, and let me tell you, it was pretty brutal. Everybody was getting pelted down there left and right. I don't know if it was from my level, but someone definitely got what looked like a sideline reporter down on the field and almost hit a couple players. Definitely the most exciting part of the Bears season so far. Bear down.
Ho, ho, ho! This is Santa Claus calling from the North Pole. I hope you guys enjoyed watching the Packers get shut out and the Lions losing their playoff chances. Unless the Bears beat the Browns. Speaking of which, I had to take the Browns to the Super Bowl. Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
I don't have my soundboard today. I wish I did.
That might be the worst Santa Claus impersonation I've ever heard. Brutal. Brutal. Brutal, brutal, brutal. I like the effort, just failing grade for the delivery.
Yeah, the execution was not quite there. But we do hope that everyone had a great Christmas, spent some time with your family. We are grateful for all of our listeners, the people that call in every week, our voicemailers, everybody who reads us. I got to say, I'm really impressed with how loyal you guys are. I mean, despite all the losing, you know, we've been doing this for 7 years now, just covering this team and never covered a playoff game. Yet the fans are still there. They said there were that only a third of the stadium was empty officially on Sunday. I find that hard to believe. It never looked like it was even 50% full. But honestly, the people that were out there in the freezing cold and the snow, I was still impressed that those many people showed up on Christmas Eve. So anyway, we thank you for continuing to listen and be so loyal. And we're just going to, hopefully things are better in 2018, but we're just going to keep having fun here on this podcast and try to keep you guys entertained no matter what happens.
Absolutely. Did you just say losing and crap?
What did I, what?
Did you just say losing and crap to describe things?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I did.
That's the problem when you're in Minnesota and I'm in Chicago. But I distinctly heard you say losing and crap, but which is fine. There's been a bunch of losing and crap here.
And crap, yeah.
In town. It's okay. Did you see those four fans in the row right in front of the press box that were clearly spreading the Christmas cheer and spirit, fully full of spirits themselves and singing and yelling at every single Browns fan that was passing by, and they seem to be having a jolly good time in front of us. So some fans definitely had a good time at that snowy game on Christmas Eve.
What was the best Christmas present you got?
Best Christmas present I got? I didn't get a single thing, which is fine.
Nothing?
No, I'm a giver, Adam. I'm a giver.
Okay.
I think I got some clothes from an aunt in a grab bag. But, yeah, I guess I'm thankful for that. I'm just thankful for the good health in my family.
We do, we do the white elephant gift exchange in my family, and I ended up with my own present. Not by choice.
No,
it wasn't by... I mean, I didn't mind the one... I was like a bunch of games, like three games that I had bought to, just like, not necessarily board games, but like dice games and things like that. So I was fine with it, but the best gift I got was... I got these socks, and it sounds silly, but these really, really warm socks. And at first you're like, socks? But considering how goddamn cold it is up here, they have come in handy. Like, even if I never wear them again after this week, they've been great. So it was a great Christmas.
Now, what type of white elephant gifter are you? So you're apparently not the type that likes to get a gift and put it in there thinking you want to get it yourself. That's the type of white elephant gifter I am. So my white elephant, I put a Starbucks gift card out there with a good amount of money. I made sure to get that back because I go there every single day.
It just pays for itself. I like it.
Yeah, exactly. You contributed and you benefit from it,
Yeah.
You gotta play the game, my friend.
Well, we move on to New Year's now and this Bears game. But before we start breaking down this game against the Vikings, you and I wrote about Kyle Fuller in this week's podcast in print. Very interesting scenario that the Bears have with their 2014 first-round draft pick here in Kyle Fuller, who really has come on this year and looked like a first round draft pick after a tough few seasons. He was pretty promising as a rookie, got nicked up and sort of struggled in the second half, but was still promising enough. Then in year two, took a step backwards. The Bears changed schemes that year. I believe he was dealing with some kind of injury that year too. And, you know, the momentum really slowed on Kyle Fuller. And then coming into what we thought was a very important 2016 season, he got his knee scoped in the preseason and ended up not playing a single game. There was some interesting back and forth between him and Vic Fangio throughout the season, just through the media, that really made you question how much the Bears wanted to keep him around. I think we all thought for a while there that he was not going to even be on the team in 2017, that they would try to trade him or maybe just release him if they couldn't. Instead, they kind of created a prove-it year. They did not pick up his fifth-year option. They signed Prince Amukamara. They signed Marcus Cooper. And Kyle Fuller has proved it and looked really, really good. So now his contract is up. He's going to reach free agency. And it's a very interesting case on what the Bears should do with the former first-round draft pick.
I think they have to keep him. I don't think there's a way you can rationalize not keeping him. You have to start somewhere, and you start with within. I get that Prince Amukamara could be a candidate to return, but Marcus Cooper cannot be your first starting cornerback going into the offseason in terms of free agency and then going into the draft. You just can't have it. He's not a starter. He lost his job. He had that boneheaded play against the Steelers. He is not your number one option. Kyle Fuller has proven to be that. So whether it's the franchise tag, whether it's kind of working out to some deal with him, which I think may be kind of unlikely. That's why I think the franchise tag could be the best option. I just think you got to keep him in the mix. Even if you got to give him another one-year prove-it deal. I looked at the names in free agency, and Malcolm Butler might be the best name out there. And obviously you have apprehensions taking guys away from the Patriots when they're signing guys like Stephon Gilmore, giving him big money and not giving their own guy, Malcolm Butler, that big money. So I don't know. He's younger and better than most players, if not all players at cornerback who will be available in free agency. You got to keep him.
Well, complicating this too is you don't know who the coach is going to be. You don't know who the defensive coordinator is going to be. I mean, I assume the Bears aren't going to be looking to change defensive schemes again, but I mean, you never know what kind of style the new defensive coordinator is going to have and how Kyle Fuller fits that, or even if he wants to play for that person. So there's a lot of complicating factors here, I think, in this one. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong in the approach the Bears took with Kyle Fuller this offseason. They could not pick up the fifth-year option at the time. And then they had to sign guys. And remember, Kyle Fuller came into training camp as a backup, as really the number three corner. And I wouldn't even say it was a complete guarantee he was going to make the team, depending on how things shook out. Now, Prince ended up getting an injury in camp and didn't start the season, so Fuller sort of slid into one of those starting roles and then was playing so well that when Marcus Cooper was struggling, and I believe he had an injury at some point, he just took over there, and he ended up playing the whole season as a starter. But that is not really how it was listed when the season began. He was really the number three guy and has proved his way up. Now, the problem with I think it's good the way the Bears approach that to create a prove-it situation. But the problem with all that, you got to look at it from the player's view too. How do you think he feels all about that? And not necessarily slighted, but hey, do these guys really want me when they do all these things? They did not draft me. They're bringing in all these other guys. And that, I think, kind of stays in the back of your head as you now go into free agency. I'm not necessarily saying Kyle Fuller wants to leave Chicago, but the whole idea of a hometown discount for one of your own draft picks, I don't think that that's in play here for the Bears, because they, you know, that's sort of a give and take and an understanding that you have between an organization and a player, that you know the organization's behind you the whole time. Kind of like with Kyle Long. I mean, there was no doubt there that they were on the same page, that Kyle wanted to be in Chicago, that the Bears were supporting him, and eventually they worked out a deal that I didn't seem like it was all that complicated. This is a much different situation the way it has played out, and I don't think either side is really in the wrong, but it does not create a guaranteed situation where Kyle Fuller's going to be in Chicago. I mean, they're going to have to pay him to keep him.
That's why you use the franchise tag. I don't think Kyle... I mean, so you're looking at $15 million as a starting point, right? Cornerbacks always get paid on the open market. I don't care who it is. It's A.J. Bowie coming off 1 year of success in Houston. He gets paid by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Stephon Gilmore, up and down in Buffalo, gets paid by the New England Patriots. They always get paid. That's why $15 million is the likely starting point in negotiations. And I don't think the Bears are sold on him enough to really commit more than that. So that's why I think the franchise tag is the best option. And really, you know, I want to comment on a couple of things you said. If Kyle Fuller feels slighted a bit, you know what, buddy? You didn't play at all in 2016. Kyle Long played through all sorts of different injuries. You know what? He played all through sorts of different injuries this year. You know, if this is you know, in John Fox's world, there's injuries and there's always. I think you kind of should have probably tried to tough out your injury in many, according to many at Hallis Hall in that capacity. Now, you've re-proven yourself. You've established yourself as a pretty good cornerback. I think the team has come around on you again, but still, there are concerns there. They like the motivated Kyle Fuller. Will Kyle Fuller remain motivated once he gets paid? Time will tell. And, you know what, in terms of like Fangio and finding the right fit for Kyle Fuller, a lot of times, yeah, sure, defensive coordinators, secondary coaches have certain ways they want to play defense and certain ways they want their cornerbacks to play on the outside. But also, you hear it all the time, coaches also have to adjust and find out what their own players do best and then put those players in positions to succeed. So obviously, the mended relationship between Fangio and Fuller has produced productive football player this year. So, I mean, even if it's Fangio leaves, maybe Kyle Fuller would like to follow him around to wherever that end may be.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, and I think the bottom line here is Kyle Fuller is going to get paid, whether it's by the Bears or by somebody else, and I think he's probably going to be one of those free agents that goes on day one or day two of free agency. Very similar to kind of Alshon Jeffrey last year in that regard. And Jeffrey was one of your own draft picks that left, and for whatever the reasons were there, the Bears have not been able to re-sign their own draft picks over the last 10 years, whether that's because the players just weren't good enough to re-sign or because in a situation like Jeffrey, he ends up signing somewhere else. So, in fact, that number is 5 now. 5. I'm not just talking about first-rounders. I'm talking about 5 total draft picks since 2007 that have received a second contract with the Bears. Charles Leno became the fifth one right before the season when he signed a contract extension in August, and that was a 7th-round pick. So I just don't think it's smart to let your own draft picks go, and I think the Bears got to find a way to keep Kyle Fuller around, even if they have to overpay. I mean, you just can't keep letting talented players leave.
Right, it's bad business. Now, the Bears did do... You know, they tried to work things out with Alshon Jeffrey. You know, they played things out on the franchise tag last year. He got suspended. It wasn't a good look, although he was voted captain. His numbers were down because of his suspension. And then I think the Bears read the market right on Alshon Jeffrey, at least this offseason. The money wasn't out there for Alshon Jeffrey. And obviously he was torn. Obviously he wanted to go to a place with a good up-and-coming quarterback, and obviously Mitch Trubisky wasn't here yet. So the Eagles came calling. Obviously, he had a connection there with Mike Rowe, the Bears' former receivers coach. But it was a good fit for him. And now he finally just got paid. You know, he didn't even get the long-term deal that he wanted from the Bears or any other team. He had to accept another 1-year deal from the Eagles. It's paid off for the Eagles. It's paid off for him. He actually got that long-term deal he wanted for. Got it during the season after being a productive player for Carson Wentz. So I think you're going to see almost the same path with the Bears and Kyle Fuller. I think the franchise tag has to be a real option. You make him prove it again. You feel good about him after that. Then you try to work things out long term.
All right, well, you can read more about what we wrote on Kyle Fuller at ChicagoSunTimes.com or in today's Sun-Times, Wednesday Sun-Times. We went in a little bit more in depth, too, so you can read about that all there in our podcast in print. Let's talk a little bit about John Fox in his final week at Halas Hall, most likely. I think we kind of all in agreement on that. Now, I have found some of his comments interesting in the last couple of weeks. He's gone into, you know, just here and there, kind of sold the fact that multiple times, mentioning how much the defense has improved under his watch as head coach. He did give Vic Fangio some credit for that yesterday, but he has brought it up multiple times the last couple of weeks. He went into a thing, it was either last week or the week before, about how much Mitch Trubisky has improved this year under his watch. I think that maybe getting oversold a little bit by him. I don't know how much of this is John trying to campaign to keep his job as much as it might be campaigning for his next job. And he said yesterday, I've never had trouble getting employment in this league, which is why he's not, quote, worrying about his job. I don't know, though. I mean, is he going to get another head coaching job after this?
Probably not. What is he? Going to be 62 years old? And does he really want another defensive coordinator job? I guess you never know. If there's as many as 10 head coaching openings or 11, as some people have kind of argued, then maybe there's only so many qualified head coaching candidates, you know?
Yeah.
If you give him a playoff-ready team, maybe he could do something with him, maybe give him a proven quarterback, maybe he can do something with him. Just a couple. Yeah, I've noticed his approach in answering questions with us. He's definitely gotten more defensive in terms of Mr. Trubisky's growth. He definitely has a good argument in terms of Vic Fangio's defense. They're top 10 in a lot of categories again right now. And yes, they've faced a lot of good offenses this year. Remember last year at this time, they kind of dipped off out of the top 10 because of all their injuries, but this time they've stayed in it. You know, they're not a bad unit, and this is a unit that's missing. It's missed Jarrell Freeman basically all year. Danny Trevathan missed some time. You don't have Leonard Floyd. You missed Adrian Amos for a while, so it's survived injuries this year as opposed to last year. And just on Trubisky, I think a lot of us, I'm coming around on this opinion, I think a lot of us have underestimated how much change and how hard it can be to win with a rookie quarterback and all that's involved with it. You know, it was never going to be pretty. Could it have been better under John Fox? Certainly. You know, he needs to open things up and let the kids develop. I think his plan of winning now and developing Trubisky kind of, they were divergent paths. You know, they weren't going the same way. But I think just in general, whether it's fans, media, I think some of us have underestimated the difficulties of acclimating a rookie quarterback to today's NFL, especially with what these quarterbacks are now doing in college.
And the weapons that he has to work with right
now,
too.
Yes. It's been a harder process. Now, I think there's some in our media that don't like John Fox just in general, and you know, with the way he's treated some of us, they probably have a good opinion to come out fighting for John Fox, or going after John Fox, I should say. But I just think in general, if you look at the history of rookie quarterbacks, I think you're seeing how hard, another example of how hard it could be to acclimate one and try to win with one when he has so much to learn.
Well, we've had a lot of fun with John Fox the last 3 years in our segment, What Does the Fox Say? This could be the last one, potentially.
We're going to have a montage at the end of all this, right? Joe, right?
Yeah, we could put them all together. I do have some going back 3 years that we can bring back the best of.
There we go.
But this might be our final solo edition of What Does the Fox Say? So let's take a listen.
What does the fox say?
You know, there's some unfamiliarity or infamiliarity, whatever that word is, non-familiar.
What the fox say?
I think he had it right the first time. What the fuck, say? Unfamiliar.
No, John.
Infamiliar?
Infamiliar. Unfamiliar. Non-familiar. Non-familiar.
Yeah.
I guess they'll work.
Well, John, we hardly knew ye.
All right. Well, Mark Trestman's final game was in Minnesota 3 years ago, and it's looking very similar this time around. New stadium, Bears at Vikings. The Vikings are a 12.5 point favorite, noon Sunday on Fox. A bunch of playoff scenarios at work here this week. The Vikings do have something to play for, and it's important. They have to clinch a first round bye. Now, the thing is there's a number of scenarios where even if they lose this game, they'll probably still end up with a first round bye. They clinch it by just winning the game or getting a loss from Carolina. Or weirdly, if the Saints or Rams win, they get their first round bye too. So chances are they're going to come out of this weekend with a first round bye. But the easiest way for them to get that would just beat the Bears. Now 12.5 points, that's a big spread in this game, especially I think when you consider how close the Bears played them the first time around at Soldier Field on Monday Night Football earlier this season. However, the last couple of games in Minnesota for the Bears have been complete blowouts, and that includes at the end of last season.
Yeah, things got out of way pretty fast. I don't think that's going to happen, though, this year. This is Mitch Trubisky in, what, his 12th start as opposed to his first start?
Yeah, remember Matt Barkley was playing in that game last year and was horrendous.
Yes. And just in terms of ball security, how many interceptions did Barkley have? I know he finished with like 8 in his final 3 starts or something like that. You know, things really got out of hand with Matt Barkley. Mitch Trubisky is a vastly different story. I think he's feeling good about his development. I don't know if he's going to win, but I think he could cover 12.5 points. So I'm going to go with, in terms of like a bold prediction again, Adam. I think you and I, what do we have, 3 touchdowns or a good game for Mitch Trubisky last week?
Yeah.
I'm going to say he accounts for 300 yards of total offense against the Vikings. Now that's going to be running, wow. and that's going to be passing. But I think he has another step. I think it makes everybody feel good about his development to close out this season. 300 yards total offense, Mitch Trubisky.
Okay, that's a lot of offense. I mean, this is Mike Zimmer's Vikings defense, but it gets back to. I mean, the thing is, as I'm up here in Minnesota right now, and I'm trying to like figure out how they're going to play this thing this weekend, because they can't really afford to rest anybody or take this one easy, because this is a noon game, so it's not like they can bank on all the other results they need happening. They have to go out there and win. So, I mean, they have to play this one pretty tough. Now, I don't know, does this count as a bold prediction? I think Teddy Bridgewater plays at some point.
Ooh, I think it could be. That means things got out of hand either way, right? Like the Bears are going to win this game. We need to keep Case Keenum healthy, or get knocked around, or the Vikings are blowing them out. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but that's the thing. I also don't see this becoming a blowout either. But I mean, maybe in the fourth quarter, if they're in control by like 10 points or something, even. They just start to dial it down a little bit because they don't want to get people hurt. And they throw Teddy out there in the last game of the season. He's probably not going to play in the playoffs, right? You know, because they're going to keep this thing rolling with Case Keenum. And they send him right out there in front of the fans, and it's just, you know, a good moment. Make sense?
Maybe for, like, the final knee, if that's it, maybe that's it. Maybe there's your scenario. Vikings are up a touchdown, you know. Games in hand, send Teddy Bridgewater out there to go take a final couple of knees to really finish out the regular season on a good note.
Maybe I'm just hedging my bets here between my bold prediction and my game prediction, because I cannot see this one getting too far out of hand, but man, I don't know that your prediction is definitely bold, because I don't know that I can see the Bears putting up 300, or Mitch Trubisky alone putting up 300 yards of offense, because I still think this Vikings defense is very, very good. I think the Bears will struggle to score points. I think the thing that keeps this one close is that I think the Bears defense will continue to play well. The big difference between those blowouts the last couple years in Minnesota, and you mentioned this earlier on in this episode, is how much the attrition on the Bears defense caught up with them by the end of the year. And this time around, sure, they've had some injuries, but they've been able to keep it all together for the most part, and I think they'll continue to do that in this game. But the Vikings are still a really good football team. I think they end up winning this one 20-10.
I'm going to say Vikings 24, Bears 17. I think there is some offense scored in this game. I think there's going to be a couple turnovers in this game, even from the Vikings side, and they've been so good. Case Keenum in particular has been that. Maybe Cal Fuller gets an interception to finish out his good season, to really raise his price one final time. So, yeah, 24-17. I definitely think they can cover the 12.5 points. I mean, that's a lot of points.
It is a lot of points.
In the division rivalry game. So the Bears, they probably don't win, but they can definitely cover that.
Joe, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I like the Bears to cover the spread, too. 12 is a really big number, especially for a divisional game. Mitch gets his second shot at the Vikings. I like the Vikings to win 20-14, but like I said, covering the spread. And I'm not sure if this affects your bold prediction, but Bridgewater did play already this season. He came in some mop-up duty against the Bengals a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I remember them doing that. I'm just thinking it's like the last game of the year. He's probably not going to play in the playoffs unless Keenum gets hurt. I don't know. Just something different. We'll see how that plays out. All right, so let's
you're just thinking like a Minnesotan or however you want to call it. You've been up there for so long. You just are thinking like that, Adam. Okay.
Yeah, I'm the cold has gotten to my brain, probably.
Yeah.
It's probably the best explanation. All right. Interesting thing that as we get to some of our other picks here, we'll kind of go rapid fire this week. We're a little short on time, but the NFL is not having a Sunday night football game this week. They usually don't have a Monday night game in the final week, but there is usually a Sunday night game, and it's usually a big matchup. But they decided, and the baseball does this on the last day of the season, they play all the games at the same time so that they aren't left with any game that suddenly becomes meaningless by the end of the day because of other results. So they decided to do that this week. So all the games are either at noon or 3:25 Central Time, and the noon games are mostly ones that don't matter, and then the games that really do matter in terms of playoff implications are all being played at 3:25. So this is very, very interesting. We'll start, though, in the division with a game that does not matter just because we always address the NFC North games, so we'll just knock this one out of the way. The Packers go to Detroit. The Lions, a 7-point favorite at home after absolutely laying a dud on the road against those Bengals that had quit. I mean, was that not the most Lions game ever last week?
That is so Lions. That is so Lions. They're going to beat the Packers. I don't know if they cover the 7-point spread. I think the Packers can handle that, even with Brett Hundley at quarterback. But in terms of, I think the Lions win, and then what you have is more of a controversial head coach firing, which I think is long overdue in Detroit, even though he got that wacky contract extension, which really wasn't a contract extension, something like that. So speaking of going to be head coach vacancies, look at the Lions and Jim Caldwell.
Yeah, look, if they had strong feelings about Jim Caldwell, they wouldn't have handled that contract extension the way they did, where they didn't announce it, and then they sort of leaked it, and then it turned out what they leaked wasn't really an extension. So I think the writing's on the wall in Detroit, especially after that game last week. So, yeah, and the motivation factor between these two teams, I'm just assuming it's going to be kind of close, and Brett Hundley is going to go out there with plenty to play for, as he's going to be a free agent and has a lot to play for himself. So this game, noon Sunday on Fox, going up against the Bears game, I'll say the Packers not only cover but win the game. How about that? All right. Let's see. Oh, yeah, go ahead, Joe. My bad.
Yeah, actually, I agree with you, Adam. Two deflated teams, it's going to be a pretty boring game. I'll take the Packers to cover. Not sure about winning outright, but they'll cover 7.
All right. Should we go with the NFC games or the AFC games first?
NFC.
You want to go NFC first? All right. So it's the two other NFC games we have are both in the NFC South. And let's go through kind of the playoff implications here. So the Saints are at Tampa Bay. And this, so they put this in that 3:25 window, late afternoon window. And New Orleans will clinch the NFC South title with a win. So if they just win, or Carolina loses their game against the Falcons, the Saints. So the Saints are sitting in the best position against a bad Tampa Bay team. And they just need to win their game, and they clinch the NFC South. Meanwhile, in the Panthers-Falcons game, the Panthers can clinch the NFC South with a win and a New Orleans loss. They can actually still get a first round bye, so this goes back to what's going on with the Vikings, but they need a lot to happen. The Panthers need to win, the Saints need to lose, the Vikings need to lose, and the Rams need to lose. So they need a lot to happen there, but they are playing for that. Meanwhile, the Falcons still haven't clinched a playoff berth. They need to win this game against the Panthers just to get in the playoffs, but they can also get some help from Seattle. So a lot of complicating scenarios here, but we are going to pick both of these NFC South games because there's a lot on the line. So we'll start with the Panthers at the Falcons. Falcons are a 4-point favorite at home with a ton to play for. They need to win to get into the playoffs. Who do you like in this game, Johnsy?
I like the Panthers. I think the Falcons, go figure, they're going to choke. it just seems to... I've not been sold on them since we saw them in week one. Something just seems off about them, and I've stood by that since week one. Some weeks they've been exciting, some weeks they've been inconsistent. I think they missed Kyle Shanahan. I think Matt Ryan definitely misses Kyle Shanahan. I think there's another choke job for the Falcons this week, and I think the Panthers not only cover, but I think they win outright.
You know what? I think they do, too. And, you know, the Panthers have been playing well. They have a lot to play for in this game, too. They want to win the division title, and they're going to be going opposite the New Orleans game. So all they could do is just play as well as they can and try to get the win and not worry about the help they need. And you're right. I mean, the Falcons, this is just setting up for another situation where they have to have a clutch victory. And it's not an easy opponent. And I don't know why I would trust the Falcons, so I'm totally with you on this one, Johns.
Agree 100%. This is obviously the people in Vegas know more than we do about setting lines, but I cannot believe that the Falcons are giving points here. I mean, Panthers are going to win this game outright. Falcons, they looked so bad last week against the Saints, and we don't have a ton of time to get into it, but Devonta Freeman fumbled down the goal line, got stopped another time. I mean, not helping my fantasy team, not helping his own team. It's a mess over there in Atlanta. Panthers win outright.
All right, so the Saints, then, all they have to do is win to win the NFC South. They're going to Tampa. I mean, of all the places, they get a nice, warm Week 17 in Florida. The spread is 7. The Bucs are dead. I don't see any scenario where the Saints lose this game, and I think they cover the spread, too.
Yeah, I think the Saints blow them out. And I, speaking of another head coaching vacancy that the talented young quarterback look at, Dirk Cutter could be out for Tampa, so more competition in case the Bears want to move in that direction and jump into the coaching search carousel. But I like what the Saints are doing. I don't care that Drew Brees' numbers are down. I think it's actually a good thing for the Saints. Saints in the blowout, going into the playoffs, feeling really good about themselves.
I hate that we agree so much, but it's happening again. Saints defense has just been very, very impressive. It's almost to the point where on offense you get a little nervous when Brees is throwing the ball. Their running game is great. Their defense is great. And once Brees becomes himself again, this could be a scary team in the playoffs. I like the Saints to cover the 7.
And just for the record, if Atlanta does lose their game and the Seahawks win, they're playing the Cardinals at home. Very winnable game for the Seahawks. They would sneak into the playoffs, and the Falcons would be left at home. So that's the other game out there. This is really going to be a fun Week 17. I mean, you need Red Zone to be watching this late afternoon window. It's going to be crazy. And there's the AFC games we still have to pick here. Going through some of these scenarios, the Ravens, they clinch a playoff berth if they win. The Titans clinch a playoff berth if they win. The Chargers are still in this thing, but they need a lot to happen. And the Bills, they need to win and get some help from Baltimore losing. So we are going to pick these games. We'll start with the Bills going to Miami. Jay Cutler's final game here with the Dolphins, final game of his career, Adam Johns?
Yeah.
Probably?
That's why I like Cutty in this one. You go out with a bang, and make everybody in Buffalo, Patrick Kane included, feel very, very bad about themselves. And, I think this could be the ultimate game, the final game of Jay Cutler's career. And you know he's going to go out swinging. You know he's going to go out throwing that ball around. And usually that's when he gets some really good Cutler sometimes when he's just letting loose. So give me Jay Cutler, even with the points, but I think they went outright, Dolphins.
Yeah, the Dolphins are a three-point home underdog here. I'm going to go with the Dolphins, too. Remember, Jay, that was against the Bills a couple weeks ago, right, when Jay had that awful interception at the end following the great game he had against the Patriots. So I think he bounces back in this one and gets the win.
I'll take the Dolphins too. I don't have much to say about this game other than, you know, it was fun with Jay, and if this is the end of his career, man, good job, buddy.
Good job, buddy.
Thumbs up,
man. All right, so let's just say for fun though that the Bills win. That means the Ravens have to win to get in. Otherwise, the Bills would. That would be another playoff team, though, that the Bears beat this year if the Ravens get into the playoffs here. So they add the Bengals at home. Should be a winnable game for the Ravens. The spread on this one, I didn't pick this one, did I? We were going to go with the Titans game. But anyway, what do you guys think of we can pick this one real quick, too, since it's a big one. What do you guys think the Ravens are going to do in this game?
I think the Ravens win handily. Motivated team. I don't care what the Lions beat the Lions last week. I don't care what the Bengals did.
Yeah.
Ravens are not the Lions.
And Ravens are a 10-point favorite, so this really should be a comfortable win for them.
Yeah, they may not cover that, you know, but they're going to win. Okay, Bengals cover, Ravens win.
Fair enough. Joe?
Yeah, I'll take the Ravens to cover. That defense forces a ton of turnovers, bunch of interceptions. I like them to, you know, ride a hot streak into the playoffs next week.
So the more entertaining game I had down here for us to pick is the Jacksonville Jaguars going to Tennessee. The Titans need to win to get in. They will if they get in. They are a 3.5-point favorite at home after losing to the Rams last week at home in a big one. They played well but didn't get the W. So this is another tough opponent in the Jacksonville Jaguars. Do the Jaguars have anything left to play for though? I don't think they do. I don't think they can't get a first round bye anymore. They've clinched the AFC South. So that puts the Titans in a pretty good situation here because the Jaguars don't have anything to play for.
Yep. I like the Titans in this one. I think Marcus Mariota finally, it seems like forever we've talked about him having a good game. So maybe this is it because the Jaguars, they take out a bunch of their starters of their, you know, pretty darn good top-rated defense. So Mariota takes advantage and they win. Does that mean they're in?
Yeah, if the Titans win, they're in.
Oh, yeah. So give me the Titans and Marcus Mariota all day.
Yeah, I agree. I think with just the situation Jacksonville's in, the Titans played well last week. They just couldn't beat a really good Rams team. So I think that they're going to be so hyped up and inspired by Northwestern's victory over Kentucky on Friday in their stadium that they're going to show up on Sunday and deliver the W.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, the only thing the Jaguars have to play for, I think, would just be seeding. Maybe if they lose and the Chiefs win, the Chiefs might be. Is that a possibility?
I don't think so because the Jacksonville's 10-5, and the Chiefs are still.
So I don't know the tiebreakers, but regardless, they're going to host a playoff game. They don't have a ton to play for, but man, the Titans are a super boring team. Even if they make the playoffs, I think that they're an easy out. I don't like them giving points in this situation. Maybe in a pick 'em, it'd be a little bit better. This is a tough game, but I'll take Jacksonville. But I don't like it.
I don't like it. All right, fair enough. Now, we picked some bad college games last week, guys. I mean, they just weren't, let's face it, they weren't that great. By the way, John, did you watch the Duke NIU game last night?
Not one down.
Not one down.
That's very disappointing.
Not one down.
What about my guy Shane Morris in the Potato Bowl, baby? That was rough. He was bad.
The Potato Bowl. I love the Potato Bowl. I love the Gasparilla Mowers Bowl.
They brought the trophy out on a mower.
Yeah, but it's played on artificial turf. That's my favorite part. They got a bowl game named after a mower that's played on artificial turf.
Well, that's like Iowa. They got something on their helmets that says Americans need farmers, and they play on turf too, don't they?
Yeah, they do play on turf. That's funny. All right. Duke won, by the way. Duke beat NIU 36-14. I know you care. All right. But we do have some big games this time around, including the two playoff games. So we will be picking those. But first, let's start with the Orange Bowl, the battle between Adam Hoge and Jared Payton. I've been talking smack to him all month long here. You know, they do that U thing, and I just, you know, move it to a W with my hand, and it's, you know, just in his face. It's been fun. All right, but this is basically a home game for Miami. They're playing in their own stadium at the Orange Bowl. Hard Rock Stadium is what it is now. Number 6, Wisconsin. Number 10, Miami. And kind of, I don't know, are you guys surprised by this line? Miami is a 6.5-point underdog in their own stadium. This game is being played Saturday on ESPN at 7 o'clock.
I am surprised by this line. I thought Miami would be favored in it. Makes it kind of tough to pick here. You know what? For you, Adam, this pick is for you. Give me the Badgers. All I'm going to say. The Badgers will not only cover, they're going to win this one.
All right. Well, I find this very interesting because Miami, we basically learned about Miami in the last month of the season, that they're a year away, and I think they are incredibly good shape going forward. I'm a believer, though, that you can create momentum for the next season by winning a bowl game, and you kind of set the tone for your offseason. You know, every team's got different motivation in these things because they're not really championship games, but coaches are able to turn these into battles. You win a trophy, and it's fun. So I do think Miami could be set up pretty good if they win this game going forward, but I don't necessarily think they have to. I think in Wisconsin's case, you could question motivation. They didn't make the college football playoff. I know just from kind of the fan base that a lot of people aren't even going to this game because everyone went to Indy and they ended up not winning, so why would they go to the Orange Bowl? I don't know that the players are going to be thinking that way, though. I think the players are going to be motivated. Wisconsin's won 3 straight bowl games. I also think they're the better team overall, especially with that defense. I'll tell you what does worry me, though. Alex Hornibrook versus the turnover chain. I mean, you got a quarterback that turns the ball over against the turnover chain. That has me worried. So I'm going to pick Miami to cover, but I do think Wisconsin wins the game in a close one.
You know, it's not quite the same as the NCAA tournament when bubble teams are like, oh, are we going to get in? Are we not going to get in? And there's this like huge ovation when they get in. But Miami playing at home is just, don't you think that's kind of a letdown? Don't you think that's kind of like, ah, damn, we're not going to Pasadena or the Bahamas or Hawaii? So I think it's kind of a bummer for them, especially they were in a win-and-you're-in situation to play for the national championship. Anyways, I'll take Wisconsin to cover. I just see Miami kind of loafing a little bit in the bowl game.
I will say the two times Miami showed up in their big games this year were home games, prime time, against big-time opponents when they beat Notre Dame and they beat Virginia Tech. I think Wisconsin's a little bit better, though. So that should be a fun one Saturday night. Let's move our attention to New Year's Day while we're probably covering John Fox's firing, Adam. The Rose Bowl will be going on. I love the Rose Bowl. I don't care who's playing. I will always watch the Rose Bowl. But this time it is for the playoff. It is number 3 Georgia, number 2 Oklahoma. Georgia is favored by 2 points in this game. It's 4 o'clock Monday on ESPN. I'll start here. I like Oklahoma. I don't like that they out of the four teams in the playoff, I think they have the worst defense. But out of the four teams in the playoff, they probably have the best offense. And they do have the best player in college football in Baker Mayfield. I think Oklahoma goes in there, scores a ton of points, and Georgia struggles to keep up. So I'm taking the Sooners.
Yeah, I see a fast start by Baker Mayfield. And then Georgia really struggling to keep up with the offensive firepower, and it plays in the hands maybe for the Sooners defense. I just love everything about Baker Mayfield. I love the swagger he plays with. I love the even the antics, you know. I don't mind those. I don't think a lot of NFL evaluators mind them. I think some of them, some scouts may actually like the way he acts. They like that edge to him. They see a player with something to always prove. And the Sooners being a dog in this game, it's the motivation Baker Mayfield needs for another big game. Give me the Sooners.
Super bummed by what I think will happen, because I would love to see Baker Mayfield in two more games and on the national championship stage. But the way Georgia's defense played in that SEC championship game against a spread style offense against Auburn, I see them doing that a lot here. You know, kind of limiting Baker Mayfield's choices along in those bubble and smoke screen type plays. I like Georgia to get to the national championship and definitely cover a 2-point spread.
Okay. I mean, it should be a great game. And then you get the nightcap on Monday, another Alabama-Clemson game, third year in a row, this time not in the championship, but in the semis. This is going to be a good one. You know, when they announced that Alabama got in over Ohio State and immediately the spreads came out showing that Alabama was going to be favored against Clemson, I couldn't believe it. I was like, really? How is that possible? Clemson's looks so good. Alabama's barely getting in. But the more you kind of step back and you look at this situation, Nick Saban with a month to prepare is always a scary thought. Okay, they got an extra week by not having to play in the SEC championship. They were really banged up at the end of the season, especially on defense, Alabama. And those guys, but none of them were season-ending injuries, really. And those guys, not only are they going to be healthier now with the month to prepare, but they also got that extra week, and they didn't have to get banged up by Georgia or Auburn, or it would have been Georgia in the SEC championship game. So I actually get it, and the thing is Jalen Hurts, the Alabama quarterback, is more experienced in this spot than Kelly Bryant, the Clemson quarterback, and I think that matters. You know, Deshaun Watson's not going to be out there this time. So not only does Alabama win this game, I think they cover the 3 points, too. I think Alabama beats Clemson.
I read a profile on Jalen Hurts last night, and just how motivated and how stung he was by the defeat last year at Clemson. Everybody remembers Deshaun Watson to, what was it, Trevor Renfro? Does that sound right? Tyler Renfro?
Hunter Renfro.
Hunter Renfro, right?
Yeah.
Kind of a pick play for the touchdown and the game winner against Alabama. Obviously, Kelly Bryant is not Deshaun Watson, but I think he's done a pretty good job in replacing him. I really do that. And I am not sold on Jalen Hurts. I don't think he's that good of a quarterback. I think his numbers should be better playing for a team like Alabama and all the weapons and the receivers that he has around him and just the way the his extra possessions playing with that defense. I don't think he's any good. I think he's going to struggle in the moment. I think Clemson, I honestly believe Clemson's the new powerhouse in college football right now. They're going to surpass Alabama by winning this game. They've already surpassed Ohio State. So give me the Clemson Tigers.
Yeah, Hogue stole my thunder a little bit here because I agree with him 100%. I love Alabama getting this extra time. Clemson, I keep calling them Syracuse. Clemson, they played close these last 2 years with just that week in between, and now Bama has all this extra time. Jalen Hurts, you know, gets his second chance, kind of like Deshaun Watson did last year. I like Bama to go in there and win pretty big and an SEC championship for the national championship with Georgia versus Bama.
Well, these four teams in this thing are good. So it's going to be fun no matter what happens. I don't know that you have kind of the outlier that's going to get blown out. I mean, maybe I'll be wrong, but I don't see a blowout coming in either of these games, which we've seen, you know, with Washington last year and Michigan State the year before that. And then didn't Ohio State get blown out too?
31-0.
That was last year too.
Yeah, I remember. 31-0.
Yeah. Got the score and everything. I love it. All right. Well, it should be a fun weekend, both with the NFL Week 17 and the bowl game Saturday and the playoff games on Monday. Good football weekend. Good football weekend. Excited for it. And we will say goodbye. And here's the deal. No post-game podcast again this week, but for different reasons. Pushing one out after a game that really doesn't matter, when the news is probably going to change either by Sunday night or Monday morning with John Fox's firing, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But here's the deal. We will have a podcast for you Monday. So there will not be one right after the game on Sunday. But on Monday, depending on what happens, no matter what happens, even if John Fox somehow keeps his job, which is unlikely, then we'll be here talking about that. That'll be the story after this game. So we will be back with episode 142 on Monday instead of right after the game Sunday. So keep that in mind. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Our producer, Joe Romano, is at Joey Joe Rowe. Read us at WGNradio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com, and please search for the podcast Hoge and Johns on iTunes. Tune in the WGN Radio app. It's all there for you. The voicemail line will be open 312-222-5050. In the Bears finale, feel free to leave your voicemails there. Any final thoughts, Adam?
Nothing. Happy New Year, everyone. Have a safe one.
All right, we will talk to you on Monday. Happy New Year.